Hey, everybody. SmackDown Live General Manager Daniel Bryan here hanging out with Rosenberg at Rosenberg Radio. Do you want to hear him play music? Yes! Do you want to hear him talk about wrestling? Yes! Do you want to hear him talk about anything else in general? No! 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 No!
Yes, sir. We promised you a great main event here tonight.
Yes,
sir. Andre! The
Giant!
WrestleMania! WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what a...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. That's right, as dictated by me, your host, Peter Rosenberg. Stat Guy Greg is in Paris this week, the physically large one. Yes, getting physically larger, probably eating French burgers and fries and things of that nature. So we had to bring in someone who has reigned at the top of the Black Power rankings on this podcast for a very long time. The person who I am most interested in every single week, and a man who you will see at the Barclays Center at Raw 25 on January 22nd, and then at the Royal Rumble shortly thereafter, Jason Jordan. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited to have you on right now because obviously you have been the focal point, in my opinion, of Monday Night Raw for the last couple of months. And so, first of all, I just want to congratulate you on, I think, being maybe the most enjoyable part of the show for the last couple of months, man. How's the ride been for you recently?
Oh, well, first, I'm glad to hear you say that. It's been great for me. I mean, this is everything you can really ask for, you know. Career's going great right now. I mean, got Kurt Angle as my dad, GM, but not only that, I'm in the ring surrounded by some of the best in the business, and I mean, it's the best time I've been having in the ring. I mean, it's the most amount of fun I've had since I started wrestling.
Was there a time a few months ago before we got to where we are now, which is you as now a Raw Tag Team Champion? Of course, you're an NXT champ, tag champion, SmackDown Tag Champion, now Raw Tag Champion with Seth Rollins. Before we got here, was there a middle area a few months ago where you were worried, like, I'm getting this opportunity, but I'm not exactly sure how it's going?
There's always that doubt that I had. But I feel like I've had that my whole career. Just something, I guess, that kept me on my toes. It's something that I feel like makes me better, because then I'm like... It makes me feel like I have to bring it every single week, because I don't know what's going to happen the following week. And it definitely maybe 3 months ago, I want to say something around there. I mean, you know about the time frame, I'm sure, where I wasn't really sure where things were going. I felt like I needed to be patient, but I wasn't sure where the end game's going. And it's definitely made it a lot more fun not knowing and going out each week and I guess living in the present.
Do you remember, do you have any specific moment? I remember the episode, but do you have a specific moment in your mind where you were like, oh, I see where this is going. This could be really good. I feel them really reacting to me right now.
I don't know if I can remember the specific episode, because I forget, you know, week by week, sometimes things blend together. There was a week when, I mean, I came out, the crowd started booing me right away. They were chanting Daddy's Boy. It might have been one of the weeks with Roman,
yeah.
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
I definitely started noticing a switch. I mean, people, I think, started to get it and started to realize, oh, and I see what's going on here. I think a lot of people had doubts, and that was a moment where it clicked for them, and probably in turn really clicked for me and allowed me to really embrace what was going on.
It feels like it must be awesome, though, because, you know, American Alpha was an awesome thing, and maybe we'll see it again one day. And we'll talk about Chad in a
Hopefully.
Second, who's doing a great job right now. And he's having the best moment, I think, of his career. But there is a time limit, it feels like, for the really super friendly, lovable tag team It always, I've always felt that, you know, the crowd's favorite athletic tag team can have a really great run, but there's a cap to it. Do you know what I'm saying? And we saw that with the Usos over the last year. Once the Usos made that change, they were able to go to a whole different place. So while, is it a mixed bag for you? Cause I'm sure it must have been hard to sort of move on from American Alpha, but I do feel that in the grand scheme of your career, there's a lot higher ceiling to being the Jason Jordan you are right now.
I think you hit it on the head. I fully agree with you on that. I think the ceiling's, like you said, much higher for Jason Jordan right now with going the singles direction or tag direction with Seth Rollins. You know, the way things are going right now, absolutely couldn't be more right. As far as with American Alpha, it's like you said. I mean, I absolutely love teaming with Chad Gable. We had a great time together in NXT and in SmackDown. I thought he was one of the best partners I could have asked for, the best partner I could have asked for. I hope nothing but the best for him. I think that the direction that they're going with him and Sheldon right now, I think that it's great for him. I think at the moment when we were separated, I was worried and didn't necessarily feel fully comfortable with that separation because I felt like American Alpha had more to offer. Like you said, there's only so far you can go with an athletic, you know, happy-go-lucky tag team. And I felt like we still had more to give. I feel like we had another level to bring it to, you know, a different level of aggression and, you know, turning the corner as far as, you know, like the Usos did, you know, being that bad tag team that everybody's going to eventually start hating. But, I mean, we didn't get that opportunity. Maybe further down the road one day we can. But I think that this is the best thing for both of us. I think that this separation and going our separate routes, it's bringing us to a next level. And if we ever do come back together and reform American Alpha, I think it's only going to be that much better.
And also, of course, I think the whole world would pop to see Kurt and Shelton together in some way. So, like, the idea of you guys all sort of being together at some moment where we get to see the three of you and Kurt could be just a real, I mean, it's such an obvious sort of awesome thing that we could get. I've never really talked to you much about your history. We all know that you're a great and decorated athlete, but like, as a kid, what's your history with wrestling? Where does it start?
As far as like WWE,
yeah, or just your fanship, yeah, your fanship of any wrestling at all.
So I grew up. I was the youngest of four boys, and my oldest brother's 16 years older than me. My other brother's 11 years, and my third brother is 4 years older than me. So there's a pretty wide range in there. So
wow.
They were well into watching wrestling before I was. But I mean, for as long as I can remember, I grew up watching wrestling. I loved The Ultimate Warrior when I was a kid. I think most kids did. That was, from what I remember, my first favorite. And then I moved into Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect. He became my favorite as I got a little bit older. And then, ironically, Kurt Angle was my favorite as I was full-blown into amateur wrestling by this point, still watching WWE. But
Kurt was like the perfect hybrid of wrestler, pro wrestler, and amateur wrestler.
Oh yeah, I mean he made me feel like it was cool to be an amateur wrestler at that time. Yeah, so that makes any sense.
And was that something that didn't feel cool to you previously?
No, it did. Like I enjoyed it. So that was something. I started amateur wrestling because of WWE. I thought my first amateur practice was a professional wrestling practice, and it wasn't. But I loved the competitiveness. I loved the physicality. It became something that I loved, and it actually came full circle and got me the opportunity to wrestle in WWE. So to me, amateur wrestling is incredible. But as far as, I think in the eyes of more people, the publicity, the recognition of amateur wrestling became a little bit more notable and became a little cooler when Kurt was in the heart of his career and full-blown, you know, giving great recognition to, amateur, collegiate, Olympic wrestling.
There's something special about the amateur wrestler turned WWE guy. There is a phenomenal skill set and smoothness that often accompanies you that I believe you have, that Shelton has, that many of the greats who come from that world have had. And I'm just curious to what you've been able to learn from Kurt. I mean, sorry, yeah, from Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah. No, I've actually gotten to spend quite a bit of time with Kurt. He's incredible. The amount of things that he knows, like the knowledge that he's gotten to kind of embrace on me, and just it's been extremely helpful. I mean, he's talked to me about how, I mean, we already know, like you said, that, you know, amateur wrestlers, there's a fluidity, there's a certain type of movement that we bring that's a little bit different, and that's just, I feel, natural in the transition. It's what we've done our whole lives, so it makes it a little bit easier for us to transition physically. Turbo, I mean, it's incredible to see him, one, on like a day-to-day basis, knowing how incredible of a wrestler and how well-known he was as a wrestler. But to see him week in, week out, have all these interview and promo segments, and he's just getting dragged from place to place the entire show, but in the same boat, like, I'm getting to learn from him as he's going and seeing what he does and seeing how incredible, like, when the red light's on, he's on, and he's great with it. But he's also helped me embrace the character. I mean, as we've moved deeper and deeper into being father and son, it's definitely brought us closer, I feel like. I have a good relationship with him, and we kind of get to advance where we're going on Raw every week, kind of in our own relationship, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, because now you guys are together all the time. I mean, this is, you're so tied together, and it's interesting because It's really worked. It's similar to Kurt in terms of what the character is and how he's this decorated guy, and instantaneously, and sort of like Rocky Maivia, like the, and I told you that very early from, like, well, I was like, I know where this is going. It has to.
Oh yeah. And yeah, I remember you talking to me about that. And just to say real quick, sorry, I don't want to
cut
you off, but I would say, like, Kurt, from the get go, when we talked and I got to pick his brain, he's told me that he feels like I'm on a similar path of him, and it's definitely from the get go he's been spot on. I feel like the same start that Kurt had, it's almost mirroring with what's going on with me right now.
All right, now I know you gotta go, and I'm very excited because we have Raw 25 at Barclays Center, and then the same week, I mean, it's a really unique sort of week in WWE that we have this huge episode of Raw right before the Rumble. And do you have official plans for the Royal Rumble yet, or we don't know what you're doing yet?
We do not know what I'm doing yet, I don't believe.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, nor do I. I would love for you to be an entrant, of course, in the Royal Rumble match. I don't necessarily need to see a title defense that night. I would love to see you in the Royal Rumble match. And here's the question. I'm not getting ahead of myself. I don't want to, you know, this would be the dream scenario for me. If Jason Jordan was to win the Royal Rumble by hook or by crook in Philadelphia, Philly is the one city where I don't know if you would be booed out of the building or they would cheer out of their minds.
I really don't know. And the funny thing is week to week, it's almost the same thing for me. I don't know. I don't know how everybody's going to react, because sometimes we go to these different cities and a city will actually cheer me, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
And you're sure. Then you don't even know why they're cheering. Is this ironic cheering? Are they really cheering? Like, what is it?
Or
even
do they
mean?
Appreciate me? Do they get me? I don't know.
Well, listen, regardless of what it is, I'm very excited, and I will see you in Brooklyn in a couple of weeks. But enjoy the ride. We're all enjoying it with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Peter.
The great Jason Jordan. What a get. What a get on Cheap Heat. DJ John, you can come in the room for a second. I know you want to. So Juanito, I'm going to bring in Juanito to come in and say hello real quick. And I'm sure he has a Brown Power Rankings. Is that mic plugged in? I believe it is.
I think so.
Oh, I can hear you.
If not, I'll add it in.
But I'm very excited that we got to have Jason Jordan at a time when he's
amazing.
Scorching hot right now. I mean, what a get that was. There's only podcasts doing things like this.
And he's amazing and starting trouble within the whole Shield.
Yes, yeah, well, he thinks he's a member of the Shield. I mean, Jace. Yeah, of course. He's the definition of Shield to Jace. All right, DJ John, without any further ado, I don't even know if you've done your homework yet, but give us your Brown Power Rankings.
Thanks, Pete. And now your 2018 Brown Power Rankings for this week, second week in January. We're starting off with number five. Number five is Jinder Mahal. He's still in the hunt for the U.S. Championship. He's in the tournament. He's still alive. So for that reason, he is number five. For number four in the Brown Power ranking is Cien Almas. You know, he's been quiet in matches lately, but he still retains the NXT Championship. He still holds the crown. He's working on his promo game. That's pretty dope, too, with his little boo. Number three, Grand Metalik defeated TJP. I'm not going to put in Hideo Tommy in this week only because, you know, he had a thing with not being intimidated by Jack Gallagher. That was a thing, but I'm still not going to put him in, only because there's other reasons why. Number two, Nakamura. His handicap match with AJ Styles, Randy Orton defeated Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Number one for your Brown Power ranking. And this is the first for this guy to be number one in a Brown Power ranking so far, which is pretty dope. Samoa Joe defeating Rhino. Congratulations, Samoa Joe. You made it. You made it to number one. Good job. And that is your Brown Power ranking. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, guys.
Wow. All right. Well, very interesting. As always, I don't really understand what you're talking about, but appreciate you doing it nonetheless. And SGG, you know, I didn't even hear from SGG whether or not he could actually do the show this week or not. I just assumed not.
He went to Paris.
Yeah, he went to Paris.
Wow. Amazing.
Should we call and check out on him real quick?
You should. The WhatsApp. Or FaceTime.
I'll FaceTime him. Let's see. Let's see if we hear that. I also want to give a shout out to The Masked Man.
Oh.
I listened to The Masked Man's podcast this week.
Shout out to Brian Campbell. He follows me on Twitter.
Really?
He does.
Well, he knows what time it is.
And a good friend, of the show, Eric from Uber.
Eric from Uber. Hey, it's that guy Greg, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, SGG?
I am doing wonderful. I just checked into my hotel room in Paris.
Wow, this is Mage. Big talk. Is the room physically large?
The room is not physically large, but I'm happy with it.
Okay. Where exactly are you in Paris? Do you know yet?
Yeah, we're near the Eiffel Tower. We're like right across the street from it.
It's too bad I can't set you up with my brother-in-law, Connor, because he's actually at home in the States right now. But SGG, we just wanted to check in. Juanito just did the Brown Power Rankings. They were nonsensical, as always. And prior to that, to start off the show, I don't want to upset you, but I had to come with a replacement since you're gone this week, and I know you got to spend time with your lady in Paris for her birthday. We started the show off with Jason Jordan. What are your thoughts?
Oh, that's Mage.
I mean, that's how you come out of the gate.
That is.
Big talk.
Tag team specialist, a fixture on the Black Power Rankings.
I told him that. I think he was very touched by his role in the Black Power Rankings.
So yeah, I wouldn't even be hurt to be replaced by Jason Jordan on, because you know what I mean? I don't think I've ever been on the Black Power Rankings, but he's the...
Oh, well, maybe this week you will be. Maybe I'll do it and put you on this week. Now, Greg, real quick, I'll let you go spend time with your lady. You sent me a text this week and it got me concerned that all of my attacks and the attacks from our audience about you being physically large are starting to affect you emotionally. Is this true?
It's not true.
Are you getting abused by our audience? Are they like just sending you pictures of chicken and apple pies?
I'm not getting abused yet, but I guess it's going to start to happen sooner or later.
No, I am not rooting for that. Although I will tell you, if someone at the Royal Rumble in your home city now, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, came through with a huge sign that just had a picture of chicken and pie on it, that would be phenomenal.
So you are rooting for it.
Well, fine. You know what? On second thought, I guess I am.
Happen to me Howie Rosenberg. This is why.
All right. Well, send our love to the valet and have a good trip there in Paris.
I will, man. Thanks for checking in.
All right. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The physically large stat guy. Yeah. What do you say?
You said, you know what I'm going to do while I'm here?
What's that?
Stay mage.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Of course you will. Sorry, stay mage. The physically mage and large stat guy, Greg Juanito. I'm recording the show today from Hot 97.
Are
you aware of, like, I saw Ebro just walk by. Are we still doing something else? Am I involved in it?
But I never saw that guest walk by yet.
So we don't know.
No.
So I'm okay right now.
Yes.
Okay, I do want to talk about the week in professional wrestling, and I do want to give a shout out. Last week I gave out my email address, specifically because I said I didn't want to tweet as much. So if people wanted to send, positive vibes, because I was tired of getting negative vibes, I gave out an email address, rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. And it's the email address I'm using for my album beat submission. And I just want to thank everyone who wrote emails. It was really cool. Got a lot of just like nice hashtag with a life emails from people sending love and just showing positive energy. And it was nice. Honestly, and people felt like didn't give it out to random people for beat submissions. Did get a few of those. Whoa. Did listen to some. Some were, okay. Some were, pug.
Are you accepting your nieces and nephews' beats?
No, not yet. They need time, my niece and nephew. I don't just give in to family, things like that. But, I do want to get into the week that was in pro wrestling, talk about some mage things, that are happening, and I talk mostly about expectations, what we're going to get from Raw 25 and the Rumble. And I don't know about you guys, but maybe you popped when I said it to Jason Jordan. Maybe you've had the same thought. Maybe you think I'm an idiot. But I believe that Jason Jordan winning the Royal Rumble would be mage. Now, I don't know how likely that is. Someone sent me an interesting tweet the other day, and it was like the last five winners of the Royal Rumble. And I was like, wow, it was really tame and obvious. And it really made me think, oh, we have an opportunity here to do something unexpected. So we'll get to that, but first, let's talk about the week that was. Start off by reminding you that this coming Tuesday at 10 p.m. on USA, you can catch the 25 moments of Monday Night Raw, hosted by myself and Corey Graves. And I hope you will... I don't even know if they're promoting that yet. Are they promoting? Has anyone seen them promoting it? I do believe that it's locked in for that exact time, which would be this Tuesday night. All right. Oh, I just see coming down the pipeline right now, news on this year's WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. Tickets for WWE's Hall of Fame ceremony are going to go on sale January 19th. That is a week from tomorrow, next Friday, January 19th. There's also going to be an online pre-sale 2 days earlier on the 17th. This will happen, of course, at the Smoothie Center down in New Orleans, where it's happened before. And some of the rumored names out there, Goldberg, the Dudley Boys, Bam Bam Bigelow, and Ivory, all listed as rumored possibilities. We'll see. So what excites you most from this last week of television? Okay, I'll be honest with you. I spent more time with Raw and the Enzo Amore interview with Corey Graves than I spent with SmackDown this week. But you know, we don't, on the new era of hashtag with a life radio, we don't, which I just made up right now is the new nickname for the podcast. Yeah, on With a Life Radio, we do not fully recap every episode of the television. You know this, but we still do want to go through exactly what we saw. And of course, what we saw this week, we talked about earlier, and that was Roman Reigns, coming out, talking about Samoa Joe, before we eventually get an interruption from Jason Jordan and then Seth Rollins, and that what eventually gets booked is a match between the Shield of Jace, as it should ever forever be known, Seth Rollins, Jason Jordan, and Roman Reigns against Balor Club. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about Balor Club, and I got to tell you, I really liked Balor Club this week. It really lends itself to the strengths of everyone involved. Gallows and Anderson now make more sense when they're with Finn Balor.
their whole stories of traversing across Japan and everything like that, to me, just comes together much better when it's involving Finn Balor, who's, I mean, listen, who, to be honest, is just a more important character. And it's perfect because the problem with Finn Balor has been he just hasn't had anything of his own for us to be excited about. You know, he's hovering in this in-between land, you know, one in which you practically think, I mean, should this guy just go to 205 Live and be the biggest guy there? Because he's hovering in no man's land on the on TV right now. And so by putting him with Gallows and Anderson and putting their little story together, all of a sudden, I don't know, don't you think, like, when Balor's talking on camera with Gallows and Anderson, he's like a different dude. You know what he feels like? To be totally honest with you, he feels like the guy that he is behind the scenes. That's, to me, what happens when you see him on camera with them. There's this comfort to him and this coolness of, like, oh, that's who the dude is. He's not a guy who, when he doesn't have his face paint on, I don't really know what he is except foreign. And I do think in the eyes of some viewers, that's what you get, like, when you're just unaware of who that character in the leather jacket is. But when you put him with Gallows and Anderson, now all of a sudden we're looking at something that makes sense, that, like, this collective that goes together. So I want to take a moment and give credit, because I don't think I really did last week. I'm happy that this Balor Club thing is happening. I think it is a win for everyone involved. And maybe the only downside is that we ended up seeing two of the three or four best things happening on Raw within the first 5 minutes of the show. And then we found out we'd get a match from them later. But to me, the most significant piece is not about what happens in the ring with those guys, but just that we're seeing it develop at all. Of course, what eventually does happen in the ring is Jason Jordan costing Seth Rollins and Roman the match, which is exactly what should be happening on this route to that we're on right now, this road to Jason Jordan becoming all-out bad guy. We find out we'll have the return of The Miz. We will have a Brock Lesnar appearance. And then we find out that we get Sasha Banks and Bayley against Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, with Mickey, with Sasha and Bayley. Sasha and Bayley end up getting the win. Not a whole lot to speak about from that I think we need to get to at this point. Matt Hardy versus Curt Hawkins. Woken Matt Hardy, of course, ends up leading to a Bray Wyatt actual in-ring confrontation with Matt Hardy. Of course, it doesn't lead to any physical things, just the two of them laughing like psychopaths, to which my mage wife was like, she just looked up at them laughing at each other and was like, what is happening here? And it was hilarious trying to even bother. Like, I didn't really bother, but when I thought about explaining to her what was going on, the idea of trying to explain to someone what that storyline is maybe speaks to what the problem with the storyline is. You really can't do it. You're like, they're both crazy, but in different ways, but they're kind of similar, so they're paired together, which tends to be how I feel about that story. I don't necessarily understand what their deal is right now, but we did see them. And for whatever reason, just because of the how much I enjoy both characters, I'm still not giving up hope on that, even though we are we're like 6 weeks into this, and I still am not blown away by anything thus far, but I have hopes. Then we see Balor, Gallows, and Anderson backstage doing more of what I love, which is them two sweeting each other and really just kind of being who they are. We see Cedric Alexander win a countout match over Enzo Amore. So rather than spend that time really getting into the nitty-gritty of the cruiserweight division, what I'd rather talk about is the Enzo Amore interview with Corey Graves on Straight from the Source, which is on the WWE Network right now. It was interesting. It was interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, Graves did not pull punches in terms of the things that people seem to feel about Enzo. And Enzo didn't pull punches in terms of acting like exactly the guy that maybe has got him in that situation, you know? And here's where I'll really lift up the curtain to a certain extent and tell you my feelings, if you're curious about Enzo. I like Enzo personally a lot. We have a great rapport, always have. I think he's a sincere dude who loves wrestling, who loves his music, who's passionate about the things that he's passionate about, and loves being an entertainer in general. I also think the critique of him sort of always being on and being a lot to handle is true and was evident in that interview. And frankly, when he's questioned on it, he doubles down. That's sort of what he does. I tried to bring it up with him in an interview on Hot 97 as well. And when I did, he doesn't really get into a conversation like where he's breaking down exactly why people have sort of some weird feelings about him. He just tends to get really defensive about those feelings and sort of get into character even more. Which is, listen, it's weird, right? Like there was a time when living the character was normal and you might even get respect for it, or it's just like, you know, but not with, I think the deal is not with the boys. That's the thing. I think people respect you walking out to the bar and being the character. I think what they don't appreciate is being like that literally backstage. And I think people feel that all the time. Even though, listen, I see it turn, it certainly gets toned down. I've had conversations with Enzo in which he is not being, you know, he's not dancing in place, you know, and screaming out realest champ in the room. So I see it. I just don't know how much people want to see it for whatever reason. And who knows? But I do think it's, if you haven't watched it, it is interesting to see. It perfectly encapsulates, that interview perfectly encapsulates everything about Enzo. How good he can be on his toes talking and entertaining and charismatic he can be. And the fact that he never leaves character and annoys people. And he can be, and when he's kind of mean to people, which he has been a couple of times, he kind of ends up doubling down if he feels threatened. So I say that, you know, with a lot of love for the guy, but that's how I view it. You should check it out on the WWE Network. Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews getting a win, a Titus roll-up win. Okay. Shocking Sheamus and Cesaro. Titus Worldwide, including Dana Brooke, of course, their statistician, whatever she is, celebrating afterwards. Then we end up getting Brock Lesnar destroys things. And it's funny, I listened to the Great Masked Man show this week. He had Bruce Pritchard on. I tuned in for a while, and I, of course, enjoyed it, as I always love Shoemaker's work. Got to tell you, we are on different pages, me and Shoemaker, about Braun, and that he loves when Braun Strowman destroys things. And I can love it, and I can find it really cool. I didn't find this one really cool. Him pulling down basically like the Titantron with a grapple hook. It didn't look that great to me. And I also just, I don't know, as Maskman pointed out on his show, but still said he loves it, it's like he kills someone every week. And I just, for me, it ends up feeling a little meaningless after a while. And I'm like, I'd kind of rather get more story and a little less, I destroy things. Cause like we know, I mean, that's obviously his size. He can destroy things. So I see that slightly differently than Shoemaker does. But that's what you get, is Lesnar basically destroying the entire Titantron and trapping, Kane and Brock Lesnar. Samoa Joe beats Rhino. And then of course the real deal is that afterwards Samoa Joe really seems to have John Cena in his sights. And that is a very exciting thought. And he says he'll eliminate John Cena first to start the Rumble. Love the idea of them facing off in the Rumble. And the problem is we may not see Samoa Joe until the Rumble. As the word is, he's tweaked something and, don't know exactly the extent of it, but that's what we're dealing with right now. And then, of course, eventually the Balor Club, after Jason Jordan messes up, ends up beating Shield of Jace. But man, I will tell you, and they mentioned this on Shoemaker's show, yeah, John Cena, Samoa Joe's a WrestleMania match. That's definitely a real deal WrestleMania match that I could be legitimately excited about. And I hope that this little injury bug that has seemed to grab hold of Samoa Joe recently, I hope he gets past it. And certainly that he's back, ideally for Raw 25 in a couple of weeks. I mean, we're only like 10 days out now. It's the 11th. Yeah, we're 11 days out from Raw 25. So I'm not going to go through all of SmackDown. Mostly a lot more of the same. Mojo Rawley advancing in the U.S. title tournament. Jinder Mahal, of course, now a part of that. It looks like Gable and Benjamin and Gable are leaning more towards the bad side. insulting fans and things of that nature. And I'm into that. That's what we need. I just enjoy them, period. But obviously, seeing the Usos are getting more and more love. Rusev and Aiden English get love. Breezango get love, slash are not that taking that seriously. So, you know, and then KO and Sami Zayn are a tag team, but they're in their own sort of space, not in the tag division. So it's necessary. We already talked about them some with Jason Jordan, but I'm just excited by Benjamin and Gable. All right. So anyways, I don't want to spend any more time breaking down wrestling this week. I'd rather project to like ideal situations for the next couple of weeks, because that's what I'm most excited about. I think this is a really great opportunity for Monday Night Raw. And feel free, I have been on Twitter more, so you can tweet me at Rosenberg Radio. Of course, if you want to write emails, I like I said earlier, all good. Twitter hasn't been too hateful, so I've been on there as well. But I'm curious to what excites you most over the next couple of weeks. Are you more excited for Raw 25 or the Rumble, first of all? Because like, I know some people get really excited for the Rumble, and we've talked at length on this show about how I think the Rumble can often underwhelm for several reasons, one of which being that it seems like we always get someone we sort of are accustomed to getting as the winner. And sometimes I just don't think they tell a great story, and I don't really know what I'm watching. It just seems like a random hodgepodge of guys. So that's why I always get very excited for the surprise entrance, you know, and the fact that we have a second Rumble this year. Okay. The fact that it's the first women's Rumble opens the door to a whole nother match full of surprises. I'll be curious to see, you know, as of next week or after Raw 25, how many entrants they have from the women's side. So we know how many surprises we have possible. You know, I love to have at least 5 surprises on each side. You know, that's what you really, I think you need that amount really, or close to it, you know, to have that suspense. But that being said, that kind of makes me more excited for Raw. The fact that you really don't know who you're going to get back. And then they kind of go in conjunction well together, right? Like, what if someone shows up who you haven't seen in a very long time at Raw 25, gets an amazing reaction, and they're like, yo, we got to use this person in the Rumble. So I hope they have some room in the Rumble to potentially do things like that based on what they see at Raw 25. Now, we found out this week that Brother Love will be at Raw 25. Steve Austin will be at Raw 25. The Undertaker will be at Raw 25. But there's a lot of question marks. Will we see Hogan at Raw 25? What would the reaction be to Hogan at Raw 25? Could we see Eric Bischoff at Raw 25? And like, for example, if Brother Love does a whole Brother Love segment, here's my question for you. If Brother Love comes in and does an awesome segment, any chance he just pops up again soon after? This is why I love Raw 25. This is why this is such a rare, random thing. Where to me, if they chose to get creative and put people on this show who we don't expect to see, you know, and you guys know me, nothing would pop me more than seeing Carlito, Mr. Kennedy, MVP, you know, people like that who you just don't quite expect to see. Nothing would pop me more than seeing people like that at Raw 25. And nothing would pop me more than seeing something like that happen and it leading to something. Like, oh, maybe we should give this person a shot. You know, roll the dice a little bit. This is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to just put people on TV in a fun environment, see how a crowd reacts to them, and see where we're at, and then potentially do the same right away at the Rumble. So in some ways, I'm more excited for Raw 25, although I am very excited for both. I'm generally just pumped for the whole week. I mean, it's a week where, I'll be honest, guys, it challenges how hashtag with a life we really are. Because, I mean, right now I'm already watching old Rumbles. Every night when I go to bed, I'm watching old Rumbles to just get in the zone. Sometimes I go, like last night I was watching the Raw before the 2000 Rumble. Or I watch Raws before the Rumble and some of the Rumble, some stuff like that. So I'm nerding out in that regard. Then you have a big Raw 25 night, which includes kickoff show and a whole thing. As I said, it really starts this Tuesday when we have the Raw 25 moment special. Then the following Monday, you get Raw 25. Then the following Saturday is NXT. And then Sunday, the Raw will be a long night as well. So it will be hard to maintain being truly hashtag with a life by traditional standards. But I think we all get reprieve for this week. And we can certainly, now listen, if you can be with a life and convince your family to be a part of some of this week with you, well, God bless you. but there are going to be some people who aren't going to feel that with a life, if you will. But some weeks are not about, you know, proving how with a life you are. In fact, if you're with a life, it's not about proving with a life. You're with a life. So even in being with a life, I want you to understand there might be a week when you consume a whole lot of wrestling. And that is certainly the few weeks I have coming up right now. And I imagine many of you do as well. And speaking of being with a life, I'm currently walking down West End Avenue, Manhattan, doing the podcast, holding a recorder and a microphone, being stared at by people. Do they think I'm with a life? No, of course not. However, they misunderstand. I'm so with a life that I don't have time to do the podcast at home. I've been running around the entire day. It's madness. Now, I am gearing up for this stretch as we get into WrestleMania season. I won't lie. I'm starting to get, as Brian, the Brian Campbell would say, I'm starting to get the old feels, thinking about what's around the corner, because it all is going to happen so fast. I mean, you're sitting here and you're speculating Raw 25 and what's going on with Jason Jordan and who's going to appear at the Women's Rumble. And we're going to look up in 12 days. It's going to be the beginning of February, right? You know what that is? That's 2 months till Mania. The beginning of February is 2 months. And by the way, in the meantime, in between time, next week we also get into the Mixed Match Challenge on Facebook Watch, of which they've done a really cool job putting some things together. Now, I think the reveals have been mostly horrible. I've not liked how they've done the reveals for the most part. I think they've been sort of awkward and I don't understand them. But I do think the actual teams we're getting are pretty cool and ones that can kind of make your imagination go wild. I'm really curious to see how the show actually feels and how they play it out on Facebook Watch, which I've never used in my entire life. In fact, I don't really know what it means. But I'll figure it out next week to watch it. So there's a lot to wrap your head around. And obviously, we have to start getting into the conversation about WrestleMania soon and where we're going. And I think that within the next 12 days, we will find out whether or not Undertaker is going to be involved. We will find out whether maybe there's going to be someone else really big and random involved, you know? And that's what I'm saying. If we don't come out of Raw 25 with either an idea of the Undertaker's role or simply an idea that someone else is going to be involved for the next couple months, that's where I could find myself disappointed. You know, it could be made up for. Listen, here's the good news. A really disappointing Raw 25 can be instantly made up for with a very entertaining Royal Rumble. So they're going to have a lot of opportunities, are the WWE, to make good and to give you, you know, something to get you geared up. But listen, every huge opportunity is a huge opportunity for success or an opportunity for a missed opportunity. Trust me, I've had them in my life before. They happen, you know? You get geared up and you think, oh my gosh, we have this amazing potential here for something really cool at Raw, and you end up missing it and you're like, oh my God, how do we not do anything here? There's so many easy ways to integrate people. But it was a sloppy season, we know that, from basically SummerSlam to Survivor Series, and from Survivor Series to now has been one of the rougher spots we've had. But that being said, it can all be made up for quite easily with a good show. You know, like, it's not that difficult. All you got to do is put something good together, and you got two good shows. And I think, I don't know about you guys, give me one of them that's magical. Let me have Raw 25 or the Rumble be magical, and I'll be happy. If it's 0 for 2 and it's a dud on both, it certainly leaves a sour taste in your mouth getting into the greatest season of all. No, it's not the holiday season. It's WrestleMania season. All right, guys. I can't walk down the street and do this anymore. I have to wrap this up and do another radio show. Stat Guy Greg will be back next week. You can reach me, of course, at that email address, rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. And you can always hit me at Twitter at Rosenberg Radio. Hashtag with a life. Shout out to Jason Jordan, Gabriel over at ESPN, Stat Guy Greg in Paris, and DJ Juanito for making no sense. Please remember, stay midge.